The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they left their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat, mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their nets, they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. The opening prayer in the Mass, summary of it is that we should strive on a daily basis to know the will of God and pray for the grace to put into practice. So our holiness depends upon doing God's will. You notice after 3 weeks almost, when the priest was coming out in white, we came out in green. Why? We've moved from the Christmas season into what is called ordinary time. And there's two ordinary times, the one before Lent and the one after Pentecost. Ordinary time. What does holiness depend upon? Doing the ordinary things of our daily life with extraordinary love. Amen? Yeah. Doing the ordinary things of our daily life with extraordinary love. That means as soon as you get up in the morning, say your morning offering. Very important. And mean it. Because if you say that, what are you doing? You're offering everything you do. Your actions, your words, your intentions to Jesus through Mary, and your ordinary actions have extraordinary value. Let me give you a modern saint that really lived that out. Saint Therese, the little flower. So eventually you might read her life, the story of the soul, where she says, we're not called maybe to go off to Africa or China or some foreign land to be martyred. Right here is the place for our sanctification. Amen? We don't have to go far away. And you know, most of the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary was in the house of Nazareth doing what most mothers do. Cooking, cleaning, sweeping, getting the water, ordering the house. But Mary did the ordinary things with extraordinary love. That's why she's so great. Okay, now I'm going to be reading a book, rather the letter to the Hebrews, which read this in light of the priesthood. When the episcopacy, maybe when you listen to this, have that in the background. So take one idea, said in times past God spoke in partial and various ways to our ancestors and the prophets. How does God speak to you? He speaks constantly, but we don't always hear him. Maybe because that machine outside is kind of deafening us a little bit, okay? But God always speaks. There's a number in Vatican II, it's called Sacrosanctum Concilium, which is the dogmatic constitution and the liturgy. There's a number where the Council Father speaks of the fact that God speaks to us most eloquently in the Mass. And they give about six different ways in which God speaks to us. Through the first reading, through the Gospel, through the priest, and in the moment of consecration, in Holy Communion, in the monstrance, in the tabernacle. And Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in your midst. Well, more than two here, I think. So in a certain sense, here is the most propitious place where we encounter God. But after you leave, God does not leave you. Maybe you leave God, but He doesn't leave you. We can become absent from God, but God is never absent from us. Meditate upon that one-liner. Okay, then the responsorial psalm. St. Ignatius, you've heard of him. He says we're called to praise God. We're called to praise God. The greatest duty of man is to praise God on earth and then to praise God in heaven. What is the responsorial psalm, the response? Let all his angels worship him. Do you know that you have an angel? You should pray to your angel every day. When I'm walking from the rectory to here, I always pray to about 10 or at least 10 different saints. I pray to Mary, the Queen of Angels, Saint Joseph. Then I always pray to Saint Michael, Saint Raphael, and Saint Gabriel. Maybe you don't have. I have great devotion to those three saints. They're angels. And they're going to help me to praise God. So if you want to participate better in Mass, ask your angels. The other day I was teaching confirmation, and I'm using the confirmation book that I wrote, and the chapter that I was explaining to my three classes was, who's in heaven? The Father? The Son? The Holy Spirit? Then I asked, and I told them, also, are the angels in heaven? And all the boys said, yes, Father. Then I asked them, are the Yankees in heaven? We hope. Okay. You have to understand baseball to understand that. If you're living in California, New York, understand my little joke, my little pun. Okay. So hopefully the angels and the Yankees are in heaven too, right? So we want to praise God. Ask the angels. In the Gospel today, we have the start of the public life of our Lord after his baptism and after he's going to the wedding feast of Cana. Jesus is going out and he's calling individuals to follow him. And here we have the call of four of them. A couplet of two brothers, Peter, James, Andrew, and John. If you listen to Conversation with God on Relevant Radio, the point that they make right away is that they were called when they're working. So God wants us to work. God will speak to us in our daily work. In the Conversation with God said that these were hard-working men. how they explained in conversation with God, I liked it. Hardworking and simple man. Is your life simple or complicated? I think in the modern society, many people have very complicated lives. Right? Very complicated lives. Now I know what you're going to say, well, it's the American society. Yeah, I think that's a cop-out. I think sometimes we complicate our own lives. So the virtue of simplicity is very much related to humility and honesty. So you might ask yourself, what is complicating your life today? And give it to Mary, undoer of knots. You know that beautiful devotion? Ask Mary to undo that knot of complication which is causing you tension. And it might be this. Maybe you're undertaking too many things. So you maybe have 5 daily activities. One of those, maybe you just have to say, I'm not going to do it. So we can spend more time maybe in prayer, in reflection, and you're not stressed out. When I was in Chile, there was a Spanish priest in the cathedral where I used to help as confessor, and he would, now and then when the altar server would come in and he's really moving quickly and he's a little bit nervous, he would tell the altar server, slow down, I'm in a hurry. Okay, I kind of like that. Slow down, I'm in a hurry, no? Slow down, I'm in a hurry. Because if we rush things, we do them poorly. You know, there's a Colombian saying, el perezoso trabaja doble. ¿Habla español? El perezoso trabaja doble. Dicho colombiano, no? ¿No le no? And what it means is that the lazy person has to do it 3 times. So it's actually working double, triple, or quadruple. Yeah. My mother used to say, if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well. So whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, do everything for the honor and glory of God. In the Gospel today, we have the first time we hear Jesus speaking in his public ministry. It's his first preaching, which is, we are listening. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's the first preaching of Jesus Christ. It's his first preaching. Time of fulfillment has arrived. I'm here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Isn't that interesting that we use that phrase for Ash Wednesday, repent and believe in the gospel? Remember that you are dust and dust you shall return, one of those two options. So until our dying breath, we are a work in progress. A work in progress, we always have to work on our conversion. And it might be you arrive at a certain point where your exterior actions are pretty good. But what about your intentions? And what about your mind? Is your mind the mind of Christ right now? Far from it, right? So still we have to go through a process and we're converting our memory, our understanding, our affections, even our intentions. So even externally, it might seem as if we're really A-OK. Maybe internally and mentally, we still have a long way to go. Don't become discouraged. That's what conversion is. Then Jesus invites them, and what do they do? If you read through the Gospel, Jesus first calls them earlier. when John the Baptist is not thrown in jail, John chapter 1, and they spend the whole afternoon with him, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that was a partial following. Today it's definite. Today it's definite. Jesus calls them and they leave what? They leave the boat, they leave the nets, they leave their followers, and they follow Christ totally and completely. Can I ask you a question? Can I? What are you still attached to which is preventing you from following Christ totally? Holy indifference. What are you still attached to? Some person, place, thing, idea, ideology. This gospel is for all of you and for me. Let's pray for the grace to get out of our boat of comfort. Let's pray for the willingness to go out into the rain, huh? Let's pray for the grace to leave our nets. Pray for the grace to leave persons, places, things, ideas that are preventing us from following Jesus Christ fully and totally. Only until we do that will we experience true joy and peace of heart. Amen.